if we look at all teams in Power 5 conferences that are bowl eligible, so two criteria. Where does Oklahoma's defense rank amongst those teams?
Dead last. If they're...
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The new playoff rankings came out, RJ, on Tuesday night, as they usually do. No real surprises in the top four, but Oklahoma staying ahead of Ohio State has major implications on this show between Brad Powers and you, RJ.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if there are major implications, right? Because the theory is that, oh, what the committee does in the penultimate week, the week before the final week, matters. We've seen in the past, it's all a preamble that means nothing, because they are going to put the committee, the four teams they want in, and no one's going to listen, when you are unwilling to say what your criteria is for your rankings, that's really tantamount to saying we're going to rank these teams however we want, and you got nothing to say about it. Because how can you argue if we don't even tell you what our criteria is? That's an ultimate power play. We're not even going to tell you what we're doing this based upon. How are you going to argue against us? Now, listen, some talk radio guys are going to try, right? But there's really no rationale to that, because how do you argue? Colin might be saying, oh, the matchup between Oklahoma and Alabama would be better TV. Well, who said that was a factor, right? That's a kind of a cynical way to look at it, you ask me. And maybe cynicism's realistic, but okay. Another's going to say, well, who's the four best teams? Well, we know that's not the case. That's not what they're judging. Another could be who had the best season, the most accomplished seasons. That's what I think they do generally. So, Brad, our bet is simple. Our bet is if Ohio State wins, and we made it on the show yesterday, and Oklahoma wins, what's the chance Ohio State gets in? What's the chance Oklahoma gets in? If only one of them do. And that's very likely because Notre Dame's in. We're assuming Bama's going to win. Big favorites. Almost two touchdowns. And Clemson is what? Almost, 28 now?
Yeah, it's almost up to 28.
All right. So there's one spot left. If Oklahoma wins, if Ohio State wins, who gets in? Now you gave me, I took the Buckeyes. You gave me 5-1. 5-1. Now from what you saw yesterday, with Oklahoma staying ahead in the rankings, does that make you, how much, obviously that's a good thing for you, how much more optimistic?
I would say I'm very more optimistic. Now,
very more optimistic. Well, he's so optimistic, he lost all language skills.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking because I'll fully admit I made a bad market price bet. No question about
that's the only bets I make is good market price. If you're betting me,
yes, I know.
It's a bad market price bet.
But now that I've gotten, you know, further clarification, one more data point with Oklahoma being ahead of Ohio State, I'm thinking I'm at least closer to the market price as far as that 5-1.
Okay. Oh, boy, Fez, think about that a second. Like, your goal is things go your way with the committee, and now your bet's bad, but it's not really bad. I love being in my spot. Now, here's the question, though. You are a college football expert, Vegas-style Brad Powers. What is it? I don't want to hear your opinion about who should make the playoffs. I'm interested in what makes you so confident that Oklahoma, with one loss, gets in over Ohio State with one loss? Because the fact you bet it at 5-1 is a sign that you're very confident.
I know you won't agree with me, but I think it's the psychology of the two teams' losses. On one hand, you have an Ohio State team, not only one loss, a 29-point loss against a mediocre Purdue team. Tough
so
overcoming
Purdue,
that.
What bowl are they going to?
The Foster Farms Bowl, some mediocre.
So you're saying a bowl team?
A bowl team.
Okay, interesting. Now, we did this yesterday. Let's do it quickly. Let's assume Oklahoma beats Texas. Let's assume Ohio State beats Northwestern. At that point, what are the two best wins for Oklahoma?
Two best wins would be Texas and West Virginia, their last two games.
And at that point, what would be the two best wins for Ohio State?
Against Michigan and on the road against Penn State.
How would you compare those two?
Ohio State would have better wins.
Okay, interesting. So it's all about they had a bad game and we can't forgive him for it.
Well, part two of the psychology would
Well, hold on. You gave your presentation. Now there's a part two?
Well, the part two is Oklahoma, the psychology of Oklahoma getting the opportunity to avenge their only loss. I think that's a significant factor.
Against a team that's not very good, Texas.
Texas is top 20. Heck, they're right up there in the top 15 of the playoff rankings.
No, I'm not saying they're a horrible team. I'm saying they're not that good.
On those clarifications, Penn State is really not that good.
Yeah, but Penn State's Ohio State's second best win. Texas is their first best win.
Texas is their second best win.
Oh,
West Virginia.
Oh, so you're saying you think Texas and Penn State are about the same right now?
Yeah. Maybe Penn State a point better.
And what would the line be between Michigan and West Virginia? Let's just look at the best wins. Over Michigan. A touchdown?
No, I'd bet West Virginia. But that Michigan probably 4-point favorite.
So, Fez, your thoughts on this?
I do think that Oklahoma, all things going according to Hoyle, so Oklahoma wins by about 8 points, Ohio State wins by about 14. Then I think Brad is okay on his bet because I do think it's very
so it's
likely.
So once again, if everything goes if everything his way, goes, I'm okay.
Well, this is an important concept because if everything goes as completely expected, then Oklahoma, I think by a narrow margin, is going to get voted in. But the problem is I don't think you're pricing in enough variance here where, and I'll go ahead and say it, if Ohio State covers, if they exceed expectations, win by more than 15, and Oklahoma does not meet expectations, wins by less than 8, all of a sudden, I think we're having a wild conversation, and it is 50-50 who gets in.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I do think this is super telling about, is it good wins that matter, or is it avoiding bad losses? When I'm power ranking a team, and again, we're back to, well, you're trying to assess who's the better team, not who had the more accomplished season. That's why this being ambiguous is such a negative. Like, if the committee could just say what they're doing, it would help this conversation so much. But again, they don't give a care. They are saying, we're going to do it our way, and what are you going to do about it? Now, I personally, when I'm power ranking a team, I want to see the good wins. When a team loses a game you just don't expect them to lose, it's an aberration. It's something happened. Maybe it was fluky play. Maybe it was something that wasn't obvious with the psychology, with injuries. But you can't get lucky dominant. Like when Ohio State dominates Michigan, there's no way that's anything but Ohio State having a great game. When Ohio State loses to Purdue, I don't think it tells you it as much. And Fez, let me ask you, you make your living creating power rankings for the NFL. When Minnesota lost to the Bills, did that tell you as much as, let's say, if Minnesota goes in and beats New England, which would be a great win this weekend, and we're going to be previewing that game in a second, would that tell you more or less about Minnesota than them losing as 17-point favorites to the Bills?
It will tell me more, and that's a great point, RJ, because evaluating where a team's A game will be, because let's face it, in the playoffs, that's what we're really looking at.
Or even their normal game, because obviously, Ohio State hasn't played great even in some other spots, but they've still got the wins. But Oklahoma has, I mean, Oklahoma against Army. So what was the score of that game? Army?
28-21 in overtime.
And oh, they went to overtime with Army. Uh-huh. Last thing. If you look at the odds, and the betting market is speaking on this, right now, Ohio State at most books has a better chance to win the national title than Oklahoma. So, Fez, I don't understand how it could possibly be that Oklahoma is some huge favorite if they both win, if Ohio State has better odds at most books to win the title. Because if they get in, we've already established if Oklahoma gets in, their chance of winning it is about the same as Ohio State's. And so it's not, once they get in, Ohio State has a better. No, it's about even, we think. So really, the odds are all about who's going to get in. And the marketplace is saying Ohio State has a better chance to get in. Now, there is a caveat. If Oklahoma loses and Ohio State wins, obviously Ohio State's getting in. And Oklahoma has the tougher game. They're only favored by about a touchdown. Ohio State's favored by 2 touchdowns. So you got to give a little bit of consideration to that. But even if you consider that, the market is saying if these two teams both win – The market's saying it's about a coin flip.
And I was shocked by this because what I expected to see, I thought it would be like Oklahoma around 20-1 and Ohio State double that around 40-1. And that's not what it is. Clear the betting markets are telling you there's a good shot the Buckeyes could get in over Oklahoma if they both win.
And they're telling us something else. They're saying RJ's got a heck of a bet. and that's what we like.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's start in the Big 12 title game where Oklahoma right now on pregame.com is an 8.5-point favorite over Texas.
All right, so up a little bit, Brad. Mm-hmm. What's your early handicap here? Let's break down the key factors in the game.
Well, number one is Texas is built personnel-wise and tactically as far as what they do schematically. Different than any other team in the Big 12, Texas being different. Where do we see it show up? In these matchups against Oklahoma, last six times these two teams have faced one another, Texas has covered all six and by a significant margin. How about this? Six straight covers by 14 points per game, exceeding expectation.
All right, so I think you're exactly right. One way I tend to say it is, looking from the other perspective, Oklahoma is built to beat, to dominate Big 12 teams. Texas is the least Big 12-y of all the Big 12 teams. Number two, second factor in the game.
For me, it's this, and it's starting to get a lot of play now at this point, but Tom Herman, the Texas head coach, has a now significant track record and a great performance as an underdog. As a head coach, 12-1 against the number, kind of, you know, a guy that when he's in the underdog role is going to take a persona. We don't deserve to be a dog. We're better than that. Kind of a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And actually going back to his days as an offensive coordinator, any teams that he's coached, Tom Herman, 23-1 against the spread in the underdog role.
Last question, and this is one you don't expect, so take a second if you need it. If we look at all teams in Power 5 conferences that are bowl eligible, so two criteria. You've won six games, you're in a major conference. So, for example, Purdue is on this list, correct?
Yes.
All right. Where does Oklahoma's defense rank amongst those teams?
Dead last. If they're... there's any sort of maybe I'd have to, you know, argument and be Wake Forest, but Wake Forest fired their DC. And unlike Oklahoma, Wake Forest's D after that firing in their DC has played much better.
So what you're saying is the team that you laid -500 on
yeah,
amongst the teams that play big boys and can win at least half their games, your team is the worst on one side of the ball. There's only two sides of the ball. They're the worst.
But they're the best. Arguably best offense in the history of college football from Fez's yards per play that he loves so much.
Coffee's for closers only.
Guys, we go to the Big Ten title game now where Ohio State is a 14.5-point favorite over Northwestern.
All right, same question. Let's break it down. It's early. We'll have our picks later in the week. Though we're not hiding anything. You're leaning Texas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Backing up this game.
Oh, I'm more than leaning. I like Ohio State here to get some margin. And when you're laying two touchdowns, it's all about the emotion, the psychology. Do you want to get margin? Well, I think anyone here at this table thinks Ohio State, if they want to get to the playoff, needs some margin here. They can't struggle with Northwestern. The only caveat being if Oklahoma loses that earlier game. But say Oklahoma struggles a little bit with Texas in that earlier meeting. Ohio State is the type of team, and specifically Urban Meyer is the type of coach that will not be afraid to keep that foot on the gas pedal. I like the Buckeyes here on a fast track.
And to me, this could cut both ways, the desire for margin for Ohio State. On one hand, you know the motivation will be there. You know that the intensity and keeping the foot on the gas if they get up 21 will be there. Okay, pro margin. On the other hand, we've all had experiences. If it's shoot and pull and you got to run 15 straight balls, your chance when you have to run 15 straight for some reason goes way down than if you just ran because you're thinking about not this play, but how do we get up 21? Well, you only get up 21 one play at a time. And it's hard for kids especially to put that into perspective, that it's just let's play each play as hard as we can. If they do that because of the motivation, great for the Buckeyes. But if they're trying to have 14-point plays, there are no 14-point plays, right? So I think it can cut both ways. So this might sound crazy, but Fez, I'll let you kind of be the peer review. I think this wouldn't be a winning bet, but I think it could be break even, even with the VIG. If we got some decent odds on Ohio State winning by 28, right? So let's say, what, 8-1 maybe or something? Like a pleaser, they call that, right? And then also look to play Northwestern on the money line. So I think the odds of an extreme result, either Northwestern winning the game because Ohio State's trying to make 14-point plays, or Ohio State winning by 4 touchdowns plus, are both higher probability because the Buckeyes are approaching this game wanting margin, needing margin so much.
Yeah, I agree. And also, let's look at this Buckeyes team, RJ. All year long, they have been as variable team as you'll ever see.
Motivational
and performance-wise, they almost lose straight up to Maryland. They barely beat Nebraska. They lose. They get blown out of Purdue, and they crush Michigan.
How many times are we going to mention that Purdue, you think, in one show? A little much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, we're going to take an early look ahead at Fox's Thursday night game. It is the Saints at the Cowboys, New Orleans, a 7.5-point favorite on the road.
So, Fez, we got about 2.5 minutes. So I want you to give me the third, because what I want to do more than debate you is I want to give a counterpoint, because you gave your best bet, early Tuesday best bet, which has been outstanding. Let's give credit where credit's due. Outstanding on Dallas plus 7.5. I think you're missing a key part of this handicap that makes it a no bet. 30 seconds on what your handicap was yesterday.
Yeah, the point spread tax on the Saints is hitting a epic proportion. They're 9-0 straight up and 9-0 against the spread. And the odds makers are tired, frankly, of the bettors winning. So they're jacking up the point spreads on this team. Example, just 2 weeks ago, the Saints were home against the Eagles. The Saints were laying 7. Now they're on the road against Dallas, and they're laying 7 to 7.5.
Okay, so the theory is, though, at the time, the Eagles were probably considered a better team than Dallas, but not that much
not
better.
Not that much, a little bit.
So you're saying maybe the Saints have been upgraded like 5 points in the last handful of games.
Yes.
They have had some impressive games.
No doubt.
All right, couple things make me pause here. I think unequivocally you've got the value, unequivocally. But let's look at the matchups. Dallas's D is better against the run. If you look at DVOA, an advanced stat, against the run, they are 7th, Dallas's D, 26th against the pass. Do you really want to be taking a team that's 26th against the pass against Drew Brees? Now, let's flip it the other side. Saints D is better against the run. It's number 3. The Saints have the 3rd best D against the run in the entire NFL, 28th against the pass. So it's a perfect storm of matchup disadvantage for Dallas here. They want to run. That's tough against the Saints. Saints want to pass. That's easy against Dallas. And also, Thursday favorites over a touchdown. This goes back 30 years. And that's obviously the Saints here. 42 winners, 22 losers. There's something about Thursday that creates high, even road teams. Road teams are 70% in that spot. So it creates high variance. I think it's another reason not to jump on the Cowboys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.